You ready to check your feelings at the door?
Check it out. Check it out.
This is Am I Reister or Am I Wrong? We're bringing you facts and only the truth. Now, Am I Reister or Am I Wrong?
The Washington football team's emails have caused more drama than John Gruden ever could. The city of St. Louis is involved. Women suing the team are involved. Now the NFL Players Association is involved. Bruh, this will be a legal fight. Adam Schefter is now the latest to be collateral damage. And did he break journalistic practices by sending a story prior to being printed to the Washington football team president, Bruce Allen? Your boy Brett Favre, who is always saying the most amazing things, has found himself in hot water again. He owes $828,000 worth of welfare funds that he received. Damn it, man. Blackfishing. Have you ever heard of that term? Well, I just found out about it today because Ralph told me, and we will talk about what that is. And Ralph Amsden hates remakes, but he likes sequels. Weird, right? And of course, the best of social media. I'm George Reister. He's Ralph Amsden. And this is Reister or Wrong, the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. Make sure you shoot us an email. 818-293-7547. Well, that's a phone number. But shoot us a text there or shoot us an email. I'm at IMMAD at unafraidshow.com. So, Ralph, guess we'll start with the Washington football team's emails.
We need to start with you coming fresh off a haircut and not letting me know. I'd have got one, too.
Actually, I didn't get a haircut. I just shaved today. But the last haircut I got was last week.
Oh, okay. My fault for not noticing. I'm sorry.
See, you don't really love me. You didn't even notice, Ralph. The Washington football team, there are 650,000 emails that got examined. After seeing what has happened with John Gruden, him being fired, being exposed, it's clear that they wanted him fired. But the biggest thing is that why have we not heard what's going on with the Washington football team, considering they were the source, the reason why this investigation was started to begin with? Their owner paid $1.6 million in 2009 for something he did to a woman on an airplane. They have 40 women suing the franchise. Their leadership had to go to sensitivity and not how to be a creep and have a rapey culture at work and sexual harassing culture at work. His wife, Dan Snyder's wife, was put in charge of the team, but we didn't get a report about this despite getting a report about every other scandal that's happened in the NFL.
Right. Do you think that whoever leaked the John Gruden stuff knew that it would cause NFL players to demand the release of everything? Because I don't think we would have been at this point without the John Gruden leaks. I think people would have just been content to say, like, all right, well, that's all being handled behind the scenes. But
yeah, because we thought the investigation into the Washington football team was over. Because the NFL announced that it was over. They said they're not reopening it. All of that stuff. So we thought it was over, but somebody clearly didn't want it to be over, which is why they leaked the emails from John Gruden. I don't even know if they hated John Gruden or whether they just knew that this was going to cause such a firestorm that people were going to keep looking.
Well, these emails do not belong to the public. So I don't know what everybody demanding their release to journalists or whatever think they're going to get out of this. Who would agree to demand this?
First of all, the only way that the NFL is going to do this is if they are forced, if they are compelled to do it. And I want to get out one piece of information because there's been people saying, oh, the NFL, they're going to delete all of their emails. Well, they can't. League rules mandate that No, even if you actually do delete an email, it's actually held in an offsite server that's not supposed to be, that the league controls, that is not supposed to be deleted.
Yeah. Have you noticed that there's a few of the, like, where's Hillary's emails people, which, for the record, there's nothing wrong with asking that question. I also had that question. I just don't make it my entire personality like some people do. But I've noticed an interesting crossover of the where's Hillary's emails people to the those are John Gruden's private emails. Like, I just, you know, it's either all for our consumption or not. You might say, yeah, well, John Gruden wasn't running for public office. But he was emailing people at their jobs. And this is the type of thing that happens. This is something that my wife has to explain to employees all the time. Everything that you put in a private message on a work server, anything, if your company pays for your phone, that's not, those aren't your private messages.
You better have another phone. You better have another phone because they can.
But your work emails, I mean, I had somebody email me one time from a work email. And this is going to make me sound like such a snitch, but I had somebody email me from their personal email one time to my work email because I asked them, hey, where's this stuff that you said that you're going to get done? And they said, oh, well, I came in and I did it on this date. But now that I'm off, you'd have to find it in my computer or whatever. And then when I looked up the date they were talking about, it was on Thanksgiving and our building wasn't even open. So I just forwarded that email to my boss and that guy got walked out like the next day. I wasn't trying to get him fired, but it was partially my responsibility. Yeah. Like, it was a co-run project that we were working on. And I was like,
So then you were going to get an F2 and you were like, I'm not getting an F2.
Well, I just, you know, I had some work that I was supposed to be doing that they had asked me for, and I had done my share, and I asked the other person, and they were out sick, which you totally have the right to be out sick. But they emailed me from their personal email to my work email saying that it was actually done. It was on their work computer. They're just not there to get it, and that they had come in on a certain day to do it. And that certain day happened to be like a holiday where the building wasn't even open, and come to find out that
feds.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to be the feds, but then that uncovered like 40 other things that he had done wrong. And this is we're talking about is like something happens and then all of a sudden all the peripheral stuff gets wrapped up in it.
So the NFL Players Association has requested that the NFL release all the emails to them.
Good luck.
First thing is there's not a fucking chance in hell. the NFL, you would rather, some of these owners would rather jump in front of moving traffic than to turn over these emails, because there being that the situation was what it was inside of the Washington football team, enough that they got fined $10 million. So bad that there is not, I would bet my life savings, Ralph, that there is something else on these emails. There's no way. You can't have a culture as toxic as it was there and there not be anything else on the emails. It's just
it doesn't matter what else is on. I could write I like tacos on Twitter and 48 people in my mentions are calling me a Nazi. So yeah. It doesn't matter what's in the emails. People are going to interpret it the way that they're going to interpret it.
But the NFL Players Association is not the only people that are trying to get access to NFL's emails. So you have 40 women who are represented by lawyers that are trying to get access to these things. Because Bruce Allen, the team president, had the cheerleaders take topless photos.
How?
And then circulated them to John Gruden and other folks. What? Bro, that is so out of pocket. I know a former Washington football team cheerleader, actually multiple of them. And they all were like that. Some of them were at those photo shoots and they're like, yo, it was creepy. But like, you know, we never thought that they were going to distribute it to their friends. So, yeah, bro, this was absolute trash. And so now that you're going to get into the legalities of this, right? because obviously the NFL Players Association is going to try to do whatever they can do to compel the owners to release the emails, because they want to know what's behind the curtain, because that may expose some Kaepernick stuff, that may expose, you know, who the racists are, who the, like, all of other stuff, in addition to some peripheral stuff that people probably don't want out, like their Ashley Madison account, their you know, the their
discipline or internal discipline stuff with that. Yes. That's where you got to be careful with the NFL Players Association. Some of the stuff that they might have put in writing about your players, you might not, as a player, want that to be out there. If they say, like, hey, we got this player dealing with a baby mama situation, it's on the DL, but, like, we're trying to handle it internally as a...
Yeah, but those are, like, one-off small situations. Like, that's not going to get people fired. The things that will get people fired are the things that John Gruden said. And then you have the city of St. Louis, who's suing the NFL and the Rams, Stan Kroenke, all of them, because of the way that they left. So they're asking for emails to be combed through as well. So do you believe that the legal system will ultimately end up with these emails, or some of them compelled to be that they'll have to be released?
I mean, it's possible. We know that somebody has access to these emails who is also who is in communication with New York Times journalists. And so we just don't know who. You know, you can make the assumption that it's Roger Goodell because he was personally offended. But I think that Roger Goodell leaking to the New York Times would be a fireable offense on behalf of all the owners who support him there. The thing that I keep thinking about is, man, how many of these owners are sending emails at this point in time asking Roger Goodell to make sure these emails don't get leaked? It's like, hey, just stop with the emails, just quit emailing, go back to meeting in like Deep Throat in parking garages, meeting with Bob Woodward. Like, if you're scummy, or you're trying to make a snarky joke, or whatever you're trying to do, please don't put that in writing. And also, just like, man, you're not teenage boys, like, all huddled around a Playboy you found under your dad's mattress. don't disseminate pictures of your coworkers to your friends who might not even know those pictures exist. It feels very, very close to the line of revenge porn, which is made a felony in a lot of different places. It feels very close to... somebody should potentially go to jail. Like, bro, I don't.
I don't understand why that is not illegal to have the pictures of the cheerleaders, which aren't public photos.
And then, how did they get them? That's even weirder. Hey, I'm general manager of the team.
I'm president of the team.
Oh, I'm president.
So, okay. Do you realize how that is the definition of using your power to, I mean, that's harassment. That's all sorts of things, bro. It is completely out of pocket. But the thing that's even more out of pocket is these people who defend it. Yo, this is normal stuff. No, it's not normal. Like I understand that things were socially acceptable in different times, but there was never a time that it was okay to have pictures of somebody naked or half naked or whatever, and then to be circulating those around without their knowledge. Like, that's never been okay. That's never been socially acceptable. That's never been right.
Right. And for all the guys that are saying stuff like, oh, don't act like you wouldn't do something like that.
I have never in my life. And I know, and I'm a guy who's gotten a lot of naked pictures from a lot of women throughout the years. And I have never in my entire life sent one to a friend. Never. Not one single time. But
I'm just going to assume that before your athletic career, before you were doing this, you were a doctor, and it was all for medical purposes. Or
no, it was for medical purposes. All right.
But here's my thing, man. You got all these guys like, hey, I'm red-blooded American. don't act like you wouldn't do the same thing with these photos.
I want to talk to you for a second. Okay.
Everybody in your personal life hates you. They just don't know how to say it. They have to tolerate you. They don't like you. If they have to love you, they have to love you. But like, if you're that guy, they know it's not a secret. They think you're gross. Some people at your funeral are going to be relieved.
Damn.
Just so you know. I just want you to know. You think you're normal. You think you're normal doing this stuff. But the day that you're no longer breathing, if the women in your life feel a little bit safer, yikes. And that's going to be you. So that's my response to the people who are saying that.
And you would think that this would stop those people. Nope, not going to stop them at all. Now, another person who has been caught up in the wash of this is Adam Schefter, NFL insider for ESPN. This dude, in the emails, it came out last night. And mind you, we're getting a new person every day. So I'm just waiting to see what's going to happen today. We find out that Adam Schefter actually on an article about the NFL lockout and all this stuff, that he sent the article prior to it being published to Bruce Allen, the same dude, president of the Washington football team, sent it to him to let him edit what was should or should not be in the article and referred to him as Mr. Editor. And then he filed the story with ESPN after that.
Right.
You went to J school, Ralph. Is that okay? Or is that common practice?
No, I'm a J school dropout, but I did go. I took the ethics classes. I've worked in the field. I'm an idealist on some of this stuff.
Big time.
You know, I got my standards and I'm willing to hear people out who tell me that my standards are dumb. But the truth is, my standards are my standards. I'm not hurting anybody by trying to do things the right way. I would argue that it's the opposite that actually conflates this whole thing of like brand management and entertainment and journalism, this weird thing where everybody's in bed together. I saw that really funny tweet from your boy Josiah Johnson, who had the picture of Kanye West in bed with Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift, saying that this is how the media companies and sports leagues and advertisers are all in bed together.
Yeah.
It was a good tweet. It was a real good tweet. But I will just say this. Insiders are not necessarily journalists. The problem is they're not going to come out and tell you that's the case. We saw the story that Shams just dropped on Kyrie Irving, obviously trying to get, and I don't know why you'd want to get in Kyrie's good graces. I don't even know why that matters at this point. You might never play basketball again. But this idea that Kyrie's trying to be a voice for the voiceless, the only reason that you would ever even
that's
frame a
lie.
Story like that is because somebody's agent or friend told you to try to repair their image. A voice for the voiceless would use their voice, and he's not. So the entire thing's a joke. It just makes Shams look bad. And you have Adam Schefter sending a full-ass article to Bruce Allen saying, like, hey, let me know if you want to make any changes. That's not something that you should be doing as a journalist. And if you are doing it, you're not a journalist. You're essentially PR. You know, we got...
Yeah, because the only way that I've ever seen that or had that happen to me is if it were an article that, like, we did a phone interview and then they wrote it and then, or they were going to quote me or something. They wouldn't send me the whole article. They would send, yo, are you cool with this quote? Are you cool with how I phrased this or whatever? Because they didn't, because it wasn't anything negative, or it was something that could be controversial and they just want to make sure you're comfortable with how you said this or what you said.
Yeah, and I understand that there's people who protect their sources by giving them access to their own words and maybe 24 hours to think on what they said. I fully understand that. There was a time when I was doing something where the kids were that I covered, the high school kids were writing their own commitment articles, and I would work on the articles in conjunction with them. And so nothing, you know, it wasn't like I wasn't writing it. It was literally said, like, by Isaiah Polamalu, by KJ Jarrell. Like, it said that on the article. So of course I'm going to give them editorial access to the thing that they said out loud. I just dictated it for them. And they were also minors. And so we got their parents and, you know, involved and made sure that they were cool with everything that was said. But I'd never do it with an article that I'm writing. Like, yeah, that is very weird. And this whole thing, like, look, Woj is an insider, right? He's going to report some stuff that feels like news because it's news to you. But essentially, he's an access journalist. And people will say that rules for access journalists are different. But the things that you have to trade off for access should take away your credibility as somebody who is objective. Adam Schefter is not objective. Woj isn't objective. Shams isn't objective. Their loyalty is to themselves and their ability to be first, right?
But also their loyalty is to, well, yes, that's a perfect way to say it, that their loyalty is to their access and to be able to be first, which then means that they are going to do certain things for certain people and say certain things that way that they are, certain people are portrayed in a certain light. And that's why, and it's funny because if you're a journalist, right? Or if you are a reporter and especially an investigative journalist, I don't think you can have a lot of friends.
It's
because
tough.
Because your job is supposed to, like, your commitment is supposed to be to the truth, right?
Right.
And when you have friends, especially when you have friends who are powerful or, you know, have some sort of responsibility, the question is, how do you handle that with your friend when they do something wrong or something comes out that could damage their, not necessarily them personally, but could damage their business, damage their, you know, opportunity, whatever it is. Like if you were a Mike, like if you were connected to Mike Mayock, who's the general manager of the Raiders, you would probably, and you got this John Gruden news first, you might be like, oh my God, how's this going to affect, you know, my man, Mike, how's this going to affect his family? Is he going to keep his job? Like, you may think about these things and then you have to make a decision on how you do it. And it's watch people who tread lightly. And that doesn't mean that they're doing the wrong thing. I'm just saying that you just have to watch how people handle it and who they cape for and who they bash. Because if you notice, sometimes they will bash people like super, super hard. And then other people do the same exact thing. And it's like, we can get over it. That's where you know where their loyalties or where their connections are.
Yeah. And it happens in entertainment journalism. It happens in sports. And it definitely happens in Wall Street and business and everything like that. And it's really tough. Sometimes you have to have the journalist people policing themselves. And I know that, you know, some of this is super in the weeds. And you know, there's a lot of just general distrust for the media. And none of this helps anything. But we've had a lot of stuff come up that it's like, all right, well, maybe we need to go back to school on some of this stuff. I don't know if you saw the last episode of Ted Lasso where Trent Crim gets fired from The Independent. And he should have. He revealed a confidential source. That's not something that you do in the newspaper business. You might say like, oh, that was really good of him to do as a human being. And you would want that in your situation. But what if you were the source? And what if the subject was a lot more serious than just, you know, a soccer medical issue? We have the situation with Yancey Porter, the 24/7 recruiting analyst, who just flat out made up a quote for a recruit. And then the recruit called him on it. And then he had to do a bunch of backpedaling and got in a bunch of trouble. And we'll see if he still ends up having a job. You have this you have this situation with the OU Daily, the Oklahoma University student newspaper, who watched an Oklahoma practice this week with binoculars to see how many snaps Caleb Williams was getting and how many snaps Spencer Rattler was getting. And they reported it, and they got quotes from Michael Rattler, Spencer's dad. And now practice is shut down to the entire media. So then you have to have a debate on whether or not, like, did the OU student reporters do the whole thing that journalism is supposed to be, or did they go outside the bounds of what's acceptable for student journalists?
Dude, because you know Lincoln Riley does not want that information out, because that does change how the team's game plan, even though you probably could have guessed. But that does take a few hours off of their game planning.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who get into journalism for the sole purpose of making powerful people squirm. And so this is one of those things I told you, George, where, yeah, everybody ends up in detention over this. And I'm sure that there's some outlets that cover OU media that are furious right now. But as far as the rest of the journalists all over the country who follow sports media, they're watching all of Oklahoma OU Daily student media be in detention right now. And they're like, hell yeah. You know, you should be proud of yourself. And so it's, but then you have a bunch of University of Oklahoma fans who just want the information. They want their team to be good, regardless of what the truth is about any given situation. They're pissed off. Like, you became a distraction. You hurt the head coach's process during the week. You rocked the boat with this team. Therefore, you are bad. But when you need a journalist to do something like this, when you need a journalist to get out the monoculars, are you going to create a situation where they can't do it? I say be grateful for the people who are at all costs trying to find the loopholes to get the information to you that you crave. But it's been an interesting week of journalism ethics discussions. I know it's boring for a lot of people, but I have thoroughly enjoyed it. Do you think what Adam Schefter did was blatantly wrong or gray area?
Depends it wasn't right. On what the article was about. You know what I mean? Like if this were a...
Like a Bruce Feldman puff piece, this is why this coach is great. All 130 head coaches in college football are all great at the same time. Like if it was one of those.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then I have no. This is a great hire. Every hire is a fucking great hire. All right. 100.
Bruce. Yeah. I read stuff Bruce Feldman puts out, but I'm like, wait a minute. Every single coach gets a glowing profile. I don't know about, but it helped them get, or you got our boy, who's the college basketball reporter that got caught texting good luck to every coach in America.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Rothstein.
Yes, dude. Yeah.
Or when even the Dan Woken, like University of Tennessee, I'll help you with PR on the Shiano thing. Like all of this is not stuff that I would feel comfortable doing. I had a college offensive coordinator
come to me. You have to be committed to your school, man. Listen. Yeah.
I had a college offensive coordinator come to me and ask to change quotes on an article, and I ultimately resigned my position. You can't change
quotes. Quotes are different because you can't say something that's – you can't put quotes around something that somebody didn't say.
What would you do, though, if they came if you were a recruiting reporter, you're still pretty green to the situation and they came to you and it was basically like, hey, we'll make sure that you get the information you need as long as you're taking care of us. I think a lot of people in that situation would take care of the coach.
Yes, because they love their university. They want them to be successful. So I get it.
All right. Well, I don't know if I maybe I'm.
See, but there are lines, though, you know. I have lines within those lines. You know what I mean? Like mine aren't necessarily in the box. There are lines inside the box for me. I'm like, I don't go over there. Like, I don't go to the right top corner of the box. I don't go to the center of the box. I don't go to the area that's a little funny over there in the left, you know, 2 inches from the right of the box. But yeah, nope, I don't go to those areas. But everywhere else in the box, I might go to.
I feel everything about, honestly, like, and everything about journalism at times can be questionable because in order to get a story, typically a source has a motivation that they're using you. They're using you.
Yes, they're
right?
Using
you. And you're like, all right, how much am I going to let myself be used in order to get this story off?
Yep. And you know, have to figure out what the, like, and sift through it. That way you can at least be semi-objective. All right. Now your boy Brett Favre, who consistently says terrible things. Terrible take, Brett.
And is he terrible or is he just like a regular conservative and we're all sensitive?
No, I'm talking
genuinely
about
curious about
I'm talking
this.
About his football, oh, football takes, too.
Oh, yeah, his football takes are pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, okay. What about him coming out and being like super pro brain health?
That was the first time he was right. I was like, whoa, what what happened to you, Brett? Hey, I guess a broke clock is right twice a day. Well, Brett Favre now is being ordered to pay back $828,000 he received from welfare funds that should have gone to needy families, according to the Mississippi State Auditor, Shad White, that Favre actually received $1.1 million from two nonprofits whose founder had been indicted on state and federal charges for their alleged role in the largest embezzlement scheme in state history. White said that Favre accepted the money for speaking engagements that he never attended for Families First for Mississippi, one of the nonprofits involved in the scheme. And he said he did not know the funds were illegal when he accepted them. So the auditor announced in May 2020 that Brett Favre had returned a portion of the $1.1 million, and that Favre was acting in good faith, but he had seen no records indicating that Favre knew that temporary assistance for needy families was the program that served as a source of the money that he was paid. Now, what's the thing that immediately jumps out to you about this, Ralph?
There's a few things. One is that he didn't do the work that he got paid for. And the other thing that I want to make
sure.
Nobody
just hands you $1.1 million, bro. And speaking engagements.
It feels like a mob kickback.
bro, speaking engagements. He's not Brene Brown. He's not, what's his name?
The big guy, the big speaker.
You're talking about Tony Robbins.
Yeah, he's not Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins don't even get $1 million to come speak. Brett Favre?
In Mississippi? Like, he getting Saudi Arabia money in Mississippi?
Right. Bro, that's the kind of money they pay you to come, to come do a private, to Beyonce to go do a private wedding in the Middle East.
An evening with Lindsay Lohan in the United Arab Emirates, and that's the type of money that Lindsay Lohan club appearance in the UAE is the type of Mississippi Gulf Coast money that Brett Favre got for a speaking engagement, plural, I guess, that he didn't even show up for. So he's obviously not in the right on this one, but
he's
also
full of shit is what he is.
I do want to point out that it's pretty clear after reading this that, like, he's the, well, to some people, if you're a wrestling fan, there's other names. If you're a college football fan,
yes,
there's other names on this list that are interesting.
Ted DiBiase, the million-dollar man.
but it's pretty clear that, like, Brett Favre didn't know
where the funds came from. Yeah.
I mean, you should definitely be skeptical if people just hand you a check for $1.1 million for no reason. You should maybe ask a few clarifying questions. But it's pretty clear. So if anybody's trying to paint, like, Brett Favre as being involved in the actual procurement of money illegally, definitely not. But it is not his money, and he also didn't do the work for it, so he has no right to even, like, come back and say, like, no, I had a contract and I fulfilled it. It doesn't matter if the money was stolen. I did my job. He can't even say that.
Because I just got a couple weeks ago, just got some healthy checks from the IRS for my foundation. I did not expect them to be coming. Do you think I put them things in the bank? No, because I didn't. I had to find out what the source of these funds were. I was like, bro, I'm not putting this money in the bank. Cause myself a problem. Not with them three letter people, bro. I had a problem with them before. Never again.
Man, I got audited 4 times in 5 years. I'm never making a mistake on my taxes ever in my life.
Exactly, bro. It is. That's something that you do once and you're like, nah, I don't think I'll do that again.
Yeah, because auditors aren't like, there's no political in it. They just follow the numbers and they say, you owe this, and you either don't owe that or you do owe that. And it's your to figure it out. It's not even their job. They could get it wrong. I got a bill from the IRS one time for $16,000 for a year that I was in college, that my net income where I was a full-time student was $2,000. And they said that I underpaid my taxes by $16,000. I called them and I said, there's no way. And they're like, prove it. And this was like 3 years after the fact. And so I'm like, well, okay. And it became my burden. And because I got audited that one time and I made a stink about it, every year. Every year we're getting on, and it would be over like $100. And so you
what? There's no, only that happens to you, bro, where you get audited over $100, bro.
And we're not talking just the feds. It'd be like fed, state. So it wasn't even like the IRS every time. Sometimes it's state taxes, but like it's one of, you rock that boat one time, you got to be super careful. And now every dime that comes into anything that Brett Favre ever does is going to be under a lot of scrutiny.
For sure.
Yeah. He's made a few mistakes that he's managed to come out completely unscathed for. He needs to pay this money back. I mean, this dude never even paid the Piper for sending dick pics to Jen Sturger while his wife was on her I Survived Cancer book tour. Like, yeah. this man has never really paid the Piper for some of the stuff that he's been involved in. We celebrate him as a hero for overcoming Vicodin addiction. Like, we're not celebrating him as a hero.
Yeah, but then he was speaking on other people, though. Like, you weren't a freaking dope head, bro. Like, I get it. It's an addiction. I am sensitive to it. I have people in my family who've had addictions. So I'm not criticizing it anyway. But I'm just saying, like, you can't come over here and be talking on your soapbox when you got your own dusty corners. All right.
Yeah, but the type of self-awareness that would go into, like, I'm married, I'm going to send a picture of my penis to a team employee is also the type of self-awareness that lends it to, like, yeah, I'm going to talk about other people's
I'm going to get I'm going to take $1.1 million because they just want to give it to me. I'm Brett Favre.
And it's not his fault. I just want to put out, it's not his fault that money was for like needy kids.
Correct.
So like, don't read that headline and be like, Brett Favre stole from the children. No. Brett Favre will have stolen from the children if he doesn't pay this money back.
Correct. Correct.
He is on the verge of having stolen from the children.
Yes. He's repaid a portion of it, but he still got that money. All right. You introduced me to a term called blackfishing. I had never heard of this. So explain to the people what blackfishing is.
All right. I'm going to pull an Emmanuel Acho and explain something that I learned 5 minutes ago. Okay. I don't actually... You know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to insult Emmanuel Acho, but when we went through that, when he's given me a history lesson on marijuana one day after getting ratioed for making fun of the LSU sprinter, I'm like, all right, so this is me. I just want you to know, this is me explaining something that I just learned. So if I get it wrong, I'm sorry, because this very much feels like a made up term to me because I did not know it before yesterday. Blackfishing is apparently the act of, for the purposes of entertainment or your online persona, portraying yourself as black, which I just used to thought be called cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
But it's like making your skin look darker, doing your makeup a certain way, doing your hair a certain way, talking a certain way, acting a certain way.
I fully get it. Oh my God. Like freaking Jesse Nelson or okay. So tell me if I'm wrong, that it's when usually a white person or somebody else that they seem to be. Okay. I'm gonna give a prime example of somebody who is not blackfishing, but somebody would, you can clearly tell who this dude grew up around. Okay. Tyler Hero. You hear him talk. You hear him walk. Like, it's clear he spent a lot of his formidable years and stuff around black people.
Okay.
Whereas, go on.
So you're giving him the Paul Wall treatment.
Yeah.
Like he gets a pass because it's not like there was ever a time before this.
Yes, correct. It's just, this okay. is what it is. And where these blackfishing people, that they are apparently, you know, that they realize that if you look a certain way, that you're not blackfacing, but you clearly want to, okay, that you want to be more ethnically ambiguous than you want to be whatever your skin tone or whatever is, like, that you want to appear more like
mixed, I think the racially ambiguous is And there's people who have made a career off of racial ambiguity, like Fred Armisen on Saturday Night Live. They'd make jokes about it all the time. Like, we don't know what he is, you know, like that so that he could slide in and out of playing different characters and doing different accents and
yeah,
and stuff like that. But I do wonder, you know, is it an issue when you have every single Ariana Grande album that comes out? She's like three shades darker. Like the bronzer just keeps getting a little bit more and more and more bronze, or even obviously the Kardashians. I don't want to pick on them. Seems like everybody does that, but it you know, is that what we're talking about? Is that what this is? And is it weird that you have people changing the color of their skin, not to the point where they're like, oh, that's blackface, but like it. Is it if your goal is to be okay, like, but look,
do you
mixed?
Know what the crazy part about this whole situation is, though, right? Is that for so long, the beauty standards of black women were demonized. Like, they're like, oh, my God, look at her with that big butt and her ghetto nails and her weave and this and that. And white women now wear weaves, long nails, all of this stuff and not even just white women, but people of other cultures as well. Like, so the beauty standards that were associated with negative attributes, now people are paying big money to go to their plastic surgeon to go get BBLs and freaking lipo in certain places, cheek implants, lip fillers.
Spent a lot of time making fun of bigger lips, and now Kylie Jenner's a billionaire off big lips.
Bruh, it's crazy. It is absolute. But this term blackfishing, I get it now. I get it. And this goes back to what Dave Chappelle said, where he was talking about even Caitlyn Jenner. Where he said that she was voted woman of the year in her first year being a woman. And you're like, and he was like, I understand why women would be upset. Like, you're new to the party. We've been at this fight for a long time.
Yeah, it does feel weird watching people. It does feel weird watching people profit off of things that people just did. But I mean, look at the Rastafari and like THC movement. You have people capitalize on that. It's basically like anybody out there that sees a social trend and can capitalize on actual culture by spreading it to the mainstream. And sometimes I feel like, that's racially insensitive. And sometimes I feel like, man, this exists so far outside race that there's one thing, one color they care about, and that's green. They're not worried about anything else. They're worried about capitalizing capitalism. But actually, let's get into this. Is this our fault? Are we doing this? Because I feel like every man likes something different. Every man is pretty cool with any woman who feels good about themselves. To quote Ice-T at the end of
Good Hair. Is it our fault? Hell no, dude. Women have done, because they want to, like, they have changed what they want in their beauty standard.
Setting the tone? Are we pitting them against each other? I just want to know, because there is that Ice-T quote at the end of Good Hair where he said, like, hey, you know, you just want your woman to be happy with herself, because when a woman's not happy with herself, she does nothing but bring pain to everybody. Like, I want every woman to be happy with themselves.
Okay.
I just watch stuff trend on social media, and then all these women try to meet these random standards that come flying out. How do we get to a point where it's just self-satisfaction? Like, you're cool.
Dude, it is. I'm not going to blame men for this. What I'm going to blame for this is social media on some level, because the perfect life, the perfect body, all of this stuff has become very, very, you know, prevalent, right? And here's the truth that men have been trying to say for a long time, because women will be like, I need to get rid of my stretch marks. I need to get rid of this and that. Dude, the reality is the perfect body woman ain't never kept a man. Never. Never. Like, it may have gotten you for like a day or a weekend or a month or two or whatever, but that ain't never kept a man. And a man, and any real man isn't not dating you because you got your tiger stripes. Or because you don't have the biggest breasts in the whole world. Right? Nobody, no dude is like, well, I guess there are some, but the majority, bro, there's no way. Like, you understand that now so many women have done it that men now, they're like, oh, every chick on Instagram looks like this. So now that's the expectation. That's
got to be the biggest discovery. And I wondered if that would crash the system. If
they women look alike.
Well, it used to be different. You're standing in the grocery store aisle and you see women on the cover of these magazines and you're like, damn. Like, that's the elite of the elite. I guess that's what we have to aspire to. Instagram comes along and you find out there's 30 women in every single area code that all look
every,
the exact same.
Area code,
and
every zip by, code, bro. Ooh, every
if they got there by hook or by crook, it doesn't matter.
Every voting district has.
Every zip code, every graduating class.
Yeah.
It's not. And I was looking at that. I was like, oh, women are either going to be very overwhelmed by this and they're going to be able to bounce back into just being satisfied with who they are and what makes them different. Or this is going to drive everybody crazy. And that's what I worry about. I haven't been in the dating pool for a long time. I understand certain tricks work for certain ages. Change the type of jeans you wear, whether you wear jewelry, whether you don't wear jewelry, the type of makeup, the type of fragrance, which body part you want to accentuate and make stronger or make smaller. All these things shift. And I want our complementary gender to look at that and just be like, I think instead of following the ebbs and flows, if you could just figure out who you are and lean into whatever makes you satisfied, I just happy life. Seek a happy life, because I don't know about this. And then it leads to some of the stuff that it leads to. It's like, all right, well, if we have to look mixed race in order to get people's attention, let's encroach on other people's cultures in order to do that. Like,
bro, looking ethnically ambiguous is big.
So
money.
Is this another woke thing that we have to memorize and make sure we stay away from? Or is this just putting a name to a thing that is like a legitimate concern?
Putting a name to a thing that's a legitimate concern. Now it is time for the best of social media, where we literally show you the best thing from social media.
Now, here's the best of social media.
And Ralph has a problem because he's conflicted because he saw the preview of this movie.
Was the night before Christmas vacation. And the fun was in full swing.
You have split our family onto two separate flights.
Mom!
Max, please!
The family left for their big vacation.
Is that everyone? The cars are leaving now!
But forgot one little thing.
Mom? Dad? Uncle Blake?
They don't even know I'm here. They don't even know I'm here.
My mom and dad have gone to Tokyo. I'm totally on my own.
You do realize that my 10-year-old son is at home by himself. You just assumed Max was on the other flight.
We didn't take a census.
We got reports of suspicious people around 36 Lincoln Ave.
I can't go to jail, honey. I wouldn't last 30 seconds in Gen Pop. It's where fresh fish get got.
Nobody here is getting got.
And we're criminals.
I don't think so.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Orange stripe, center pocket.
Ooh. That did not sound right.
I am trying to get home to my son, who is alone. I'm scared. And he needs his mother.
Home Alone.
Oh no, a ladder!
You think I'm that stupid?
Yes, I do.
Only on Disney Plus.
Go ahead, Ralph.
I don't know what to say. First of all, Home Alone would not work in present day.
Correct. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, why wouldn't you just call the police and then have them go? Or you don't have friends? Or you don't have friends who can go pick the kid up?
Or you know I'm tweeting like, ah, left my shitty kid at home. Someone please go check at them. Like, so it already doesn't work. So you have to suspend disbelief or whatever. Home Alone with you know, Kevin McAllister, Macaulay Culkin, that whole thing, it exists in the perfect time period for something like that.
Yes, and even because it could have actually happened.
Yeah, yeah. Like the movie Blank Check. Much more believable in that time period than if they tried to remake it. You know my stance. If I liked a movie the first time, around and they remake it as is, usually I just won't see it. Because I liked it the first time around. I'm not going to go see every movie anyway.
Did you see Lion King?
Right. We've gotten into this. I don't think live action is the same.
It's not live action. Okay, but
the thing that you asked me is, did I see Home Alone 2? And I was like, well, sequel's different because the story's different. This is technically named as a sequel, as like number 4 or number 5 or in the future or within the franchise, or like American Pie 7, like how they do that, or like National Lampoon. You know, it's just under the umbrella of it. But when you watch this preview, George, it looks like a straight up British remake of the first one in present day. Is this a sequel or is this a remake?
This is a remake.
I'm sure my
dude,
kids will.
Dude, I am intrigued. I'm gonna see it. So, did you see? Okay, I have a question for you. Have you seen, how many Batman movies have you seen?
I think I've seen all of them. I think I've seen all of them. Yeah.
So. Those are all remakes. You know that, right?
Kind of like they rehash the order. I'm pretty much done. If you tell me the point in the movie that I can come sit down after Bruce and Martha are already dead, that's when I'll show up. Because that thing I don't need to see. But all this
dude,
time,
that's what I'm saying. Every single Batman, every time they change Batman, Bruce and Martha have to die. Have you seen the Parent
Trap? Every time they kill Uncle Ben. Okay. So here's one. All right. So the Parent Trap, I want to say I watched both of them, like one at 5 years old, one at 12 years old.
Okay.
And it was one of those things where you might have got me on this one because I don't know if I had an opinion on the first one.
Okay.
But if it was good enough, I probably just would have. Sometimes if you switch up the era. So that's where this one gets a little iffy. This is a completely different era. This is like 30 years later. We got cell phones and stuff. I might watch this movie just to figure out how the hell they don't.
Yes.
Go have okay, someone go
see,
get the kid.
Exact. See, it's worth it. I'm intrigued.
Like, did it happen on the one day that Facebook went down?
Yeah.
How will we explain this?
So, and I know that you haven't seen A Star Is Born, so I won't even get into that.
Right. So the thing that started this argument was True Grit. True Grit's one of my favorite movies. They remade it. It looked really cool, but I already liked it, so I didn't see the second one. You think that sucks, and I stand by it. I'm trying to come up with reasons why.
Okay. Have you seen Cape Fear?
No.
Cinderella.
Cinderella, like the cartoon with like the mice and the her getting kissed against her will and waking up and whatever.
Yep.
The cartoon. Yeah. I don't know if I've seen.
Did you watch the new Hairspray?
No. Was there more than one? So you're saying like going to a play and then watching the movie version of that play?
Yes. Oh, have you? Like how many James Bond movies have you watched?
One.
One?
Yeah.
Bro, is that bad? They're all, yes,
I watched
bro.
Casino Royale.
Oh.
No. Two.
That's actually the best one, probably.
Do you remember? I watched the one that ends with Denise Richards saying, you thought Christmas only comes once a year or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, that is like seared into my brain as the lamest line I've ever heard in any movie. Or maybe it's Pierce Brosnan saying it. So maybe I've seen two James Bonds. I feel like I got to go back. I don't get it.
Have you seen, and I know that you haven't seen Cruella, but you've been in the room.
My kids watch it every day, and I have yet to.
Because it's amazing.
To me, that's not a, prequels to me are not.
It's not a prequel. It's literally a remake.
It's not a prequel? It's not a prequel?
I mean, technically it is a prequel, but it's 101 Dalmatians with a different name.
So if they made a movie called like Jafar, where you learned how he turned into like a total jerk or whatever, then I might go watch that. But if they just remade the cartoon version of Aladdin with like a different artist, I probably, or different voices, I'm probably not going to go to that. I saw Aladdin.
Okay. All right. They did remake Aladdin,
which I struggled to go to that because I got the Robin Williams thing stuck in my head. Was it good?
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
was it for that reason?
No, it had nothing to do with Robin Williams. It just didn't interest me the way that they did it.
Okay, so what's wrong with me? Okay, whatever. I'm talking
about
one.
That one in particular. Like, I liked Aladdin, but it wasn't like Lion King to me. Like if they remade, you know, the Little Mermaid, I would watch that. Yeah. And that I see.
I will say, like, it's not in every area of life, because if I see a play and other people are acting in it, I feel like it's a different experience. Obviously, yes.
Have you seen Hamilton
on Disney Plus? But I would go to it.
Yeah. Obviously, every time you see it, it's different.
Right. And if any restaurant in America, including like it's like a Chevron gas station, makes a $5 chicken sandwich with pickles and whatever special sauce, I'm going to eat it.
Exactly, so. Because you're a remake lover. all right. And you guys, that is Reister or Wrong for the day. I just want to just give a shout out because this was still up on the board, and I'm wondering if this dude won the lottery again.
What are you going to do with that money if you win?
Well, I'm definitely going to get a new supercharged Mustang with dual exhaust and about 5 kilos of cocaine, and I'll be good to go.
Okay, so you like cars. You like.
What would you do? Well, I'm $685 million. So yep. That means that the one-time payout, if you're a one-time payout guy, I'm assuming you are.
Yeah.
So that means that you're probably thinking, 65% of 65%? That's how that works,
yeah. Right?
So of $685 million, you're talking The one-time payout would be like $424 million. And then after taxes, assuming they find a way to only take 35%, you're looking
let's just go 45%. So
let's go
like
45. So, okay.
Yeah. So
okay.
That's including state taxes.
$424 million.
Yeah, that's $244,887,500.
All right. What's the first three things you're doing with $245 million?
I am going to start looking to break ground on where I'm going to build my new house, because there are certain things.
I thought you were
going
to say you're going to build a school to rival Kanye's Donda school.
No.
New house.
Because I want a sports court in the back. I like the house I live in.
So
but
land,
like,
the first thing you buy is by the perfect. Where would that, is that California?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're California through and through. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean that's not to say I wouldn't buy other properties, other places, because I definitely need a vacation home.
Main residence is your primary concern.
Yeah, and then after that, I would probably, I mean, like I'm investing probably 200 and out of that 244, 224 of it. And I would buy
NBA Top Shot.
No, hell no. No. I would buy a lot of apartment buildings and a lot of land, probably a high rise or something like that. And then I would figure out which plane I wanted. And then I would build myself the greatest studio that there ever was to do this show and other shows. And I would move you out here from North Carolina so we could do the show side by side.
All right. If I had about a half acre of land on each side, I don't think California would get to me too much. Aaron.
Exactly,
Aaron would
bro. That's enough money that you can have your own piece. What would you buy?
Uh, So there's a set amount. There's a set amount that would go to every relative right off the bat. It's like, hey, this is me paying to never hear from you again for like most of mine.
No, bro, you don't understand how that works. That would actually incentivize them to do the other thing.
I'm putting in a clause that if you contact me, you have to pay it back.
They're gonna contact you because they're gonna run out of money again, dude.
No one is gonna be able. You will be able to contact me. Aaron will be able to contact me. I don't know if anybody else is gonna be able to do that. I would make sure that my family is dead. My family, not just like.
No, see, I'm making sure that they find jobs. Like, I'm going to create jobs that they can probably do, but like, you got to and overpay them to do it. But I'm going to make sure that you are bringing money into the building. Like, you're not just gonna take money out the building and not bring it in.
Well, 245 million,
LeBron James style.
245 million is 245 million more than I ever plan on having. And so I'd probably set about five aside to make sure that everybody in my immediate circle doesn't have any debt. And if they want to go get in debt after that, then it's no longer my problem. I am sorry. The second thing that I would do is turn to my wife and say, what are the first five things you want to do? and then I'd find like a good dentist, because these family dentists, they ain't shit. So
how much are you dropping on your grill?
Oh, I mean, back when I was a little bit more in shape and had my head shaved, people were calling me Paul Wall. I'd look even more like Paul Wall.
So
for sure.
diamonds in your damn grill.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever, man. I would find a dentist that isn't terrible. And that would be,
so you're going to drop 100 racks on there, all new ones.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. I'll make sure their kids' tuition is paid or whatever. And then I will make sure that whatever my kids get comes after a time of not having it. I think that's super important. Whether that's 28, like, hey, you make it to 28, windfall. But like, I want 18 to 28. I want you to be figuring some stuff out. I'm not gonna let you fail. Never let you fail. But like, you gotta try. You just gotta try. You gotta get out there. You gotta find out what you like. And then by that time, when that money comes, you'll know what you want to do.
All right. Well, that's Ricer Wrong for the day. I'm George Ricer. He's Ralph Ames, and peace out.